It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
On The Fan. That is a tremendous piece of audio. When you consider, and then the young girl does an incredible job in responding to it. Like, so if you didn't hear it just there, which I don't know how you didn't, it just happened. But obviously Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are going to fight tonight on Netflix. And he's asked about legacy. And he gave you a Jerry Recco answer.
Let's say your mom or your dad passes away, and all of a sudden you're standing at their gravesite, and a hawk comes flying, you know, 30 feet above you. I think you might tend to think, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's a bird, you moron.
I've never heard that one.
I don't know that one either.
You'll hear the "it's a bird, you moron" all the time, but that's the full context of where it came from.
What's funny about that cut where, like, it's actually, if it wasn't Mike Tyson and he cleaned it up and put it a little bit more concise, it's actually a well-rounded, probably healthy view of things. To like say
he's right.
No, he's totally
right. It's
just
not to a 14-year-old girl.
That's why it's the best piece of audio I've ever heard. 14-year-old girl asks you about your legacy. We're all gonna die. We're gonna be dead with dust.
Who cares? That's such ego. What do I care after I'm dead? I want people to think about me after I'm dead. Who cares? We're all dead. Well, thank you. I've never actually heard anybody say that before. She must not listen to the warm-up show. Oh, that's a good one. Mike Tyson, man, I tell you, that's classic. It means absolutely nothing. I'm going to die.
The answer
is just a word people made up.
The answer is
you'll die.
And it comes to my heart. That's why, like, that's right. I love it. And Recco and I kind of in that regard.
Right.
But to a 14-year-old girl,
you are dead.
He doesn't care at all. He doesn't clean it up. The fact that you're 14, tough. No. You ask me a stupid question, right. I'm going to give you the answer.
Right. No, though, the way it starts, I'm going to say this, talk about the world. Like, it's a stern answer, but he does clean it up. And then he says, hey, you know what? Bleep it. And then he drops in the words.
I've never heard that before because you're 14. Yeah, nobody talks to you like that.
You won't see most people who have been in broadcasting for 20 to 40 years handle it as professionally and smoothly as she did.
That's true. I believe me, I know. I blurted out I like cereal not too long ago.
Right, Seinfeld pushes back slightly and C-Mac completely panics.
Seinfeld doesn't react the way I think he is. So I just go, I love cereal. I give this girl credit.
Your
in the moment.
Pain is my pleasure.
That's funny. She did do a good job with that thing. Well, thank you for that answer. Like, I've never thought of it that way. I'm going to go home and cry. This whole time, I thought I was building a legacy.
What the hell is after this life? Not a damn thing were worm food.
Well, that's particularly ominous. That's pretty much true. It is selfish to think like, oh, I want to do something so that I'm thought of through the ages. Like, it is a bit ego-ish.
It's all
he's right. I mean, he's right.
He's 100% right.
We're all just here. And one day we're all not. And the world's going to keep spinning and we'll be forgotten.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's 100% right. And it doesn't take that long.
Get forgotten.
What eventually?
But I mean, listen. I mean, we. St- I. I mean, if you really want to play devil's advocate to him, because I don't know if he's right. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if he's right. I do think it's a healthy way to look at it. But I don't know if he's right 100%. Because there are legacies, no? I mean,
what? Because we'll remember Mike Tyson because of the champion that he was? Yeah,
well,
okay.
I mean, we remember Muhammad Ali. We remember, going back, we remember Mozart. We remember William Shakespeare. We remember, like, you know, you do kind of live on forever. If
it's going to end for everyone at some point.
Right. Right.
Come to grips with it.
It ended for William Shakespeare, but yet, you know, my wife is currently teaching Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. So for the very few...
That's what I'm saying. But he's one of the very few. I mean, his legacy is a complicated discussion.
Three
These
generations
walls
from now
have had greatness come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're gone, you're just gone.
Yes.
Man, what, is that all from one conversation, or is this just a typical topic on the morning on the warm up show?
I think this has to be more than one conversation.
Yeah, I guess.
Even knowing that, like, this has to have come up. Well, it might not just be warm up show. I'm sure a lot of this is from the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, probably. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But yes,
I just like that we let Fleas go into the archives now.
He was waiting for it.
Now he's scurrying through. He's going to find every drop we got, which is tremendous.
What is the point of what the hell we've done?
Although I guess that's true.
Can I say this, though?
Yeah.
Think about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We need Mike Tyson
right.
to bring us back to Earth.
Right.
To explain
He's
to us exactly.
the reason.
To know how out of control our egos are.
Right.
Think about that. You
that's
need
true.
Mike Tyson to put you in your place.
Yeah. Mike Tyson is the authority on ego and superego. That's true.
I need Mike Tyson in studio with the morning show to do a segment
with Jerry. The two of them would be just so morose that you wouldn't be able to, I mean, I wouldn't have expected, I guess. I don't even know. Again, I don't know if he's right. I think it's a healthy way to look at it. I think it's a healthy way to live your life, that I can't make decisions or behave in a manner or do things that go beyond what's best for me and mine right now because I don't want to.
Well, honestly, I think he's right with the fact that everybody brings up legacy every 5 seconds and
right.
all of a sudden it becomes like it's the buzzword.
Correct.
But what legacy? Like, what the hell are you
right.
talking about? Just try to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Stop
right.
with this legacy nonsense. Just do what you're supposed to do and do the right thing because it's the right thing. It's as simple as that.
No, I mean, it's right thing, but it's also about I'm sure she's asking under the guise of what does winning this fight mean for your legacy? It's also accomplishments.
Yeah.
It's not just do the right thing, do the wrong thing. He could do the right thing and still get his ass kicked. He's 50. 58, excuse me. Right. I meant 60. Yes, 58.
Which, sidetrack, I'm a little concerned for Mike tonight.
Yeah. Didn't, during training, he had like a stomach issue. He thought he was going to die from it, right?
Tumors?
Ulcers.
That's what it was. Not tumors. Ulcers.
In his stomach or something?
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
I don't think that's.
No, he's actually in great shape. If you remember, like.
He's in great shape for a 58-year-old.
I know, but he's in great shape for anybody.
I get it, but there's a difference.
He put on a ton of weight. Like, you watch him in the, other movie. What's the
Hangover?
The Hangover movies. He's in terrible shape.
Oh, he was, he got really fat. And
yeah.
He's been in great shape for now, like, a good 10 years.
Years.
At least.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
A good 10 years at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had that fight with Roy Jones. That was a while ago.
Yeah,
he was in shape for that.
Yeah.
Again, but for 58, he's in shape, better shape than I'll be ever in my life and ever was in my life.
Right.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between that and actually having to get in the ring and fight. Has he a better fighter than Jake Paul ever dreamed
of being?
Of course.
Yeah.
But Jake Paul's like 30 and Mike Tyson's 58. Mike may know what to do. His body may just not be able to do it.
No, clearly.
And he looked uncoordinated. If you watch some of those, like those couple of seconds in training, he looks uncoordinated and slow.
Yeah.
I mean, and unbalanced.
Yeah.
That's not good for a fighter.
No. Well, no.
Did you watch Holyfield?
I saw him slap Jake Paul in the weigh-in.
Yeah, see that's
him, it's all.
Which again, that's why like some of this stuff you take it with a grain. I think this was really Mike. I think the answer to this question that we're dust and we're dead, that's Mike. That's Tyson, and that's what you love to hear.
Right. It's also someone with a complicated legacy.
Fair, but I think the slap of Jake Paul, that's the I want to eat your children, Mike Tyson.
Right.
Like that's
sell tickets.
Yeah, that we're in different realms. Mike has a lot of I think aspects to his personality.
Yes.
I think he does.
Yeah.
It's all and one of them is to tell you
it's
about
all part
dust
of his legacy.
Which I like.
No, the answer is tremendous. And considering the interview, you're right. He's not on Charlie Rose. This isn't Dr. Phil.
No.
This is
Like he's on like a runway.
Yeah, he's like he's in the back hallway on like some kid's show where she asked him a question about legacy.
I don't think it's a show. I think she caught him as he's walking by.
Right.
I think this was one question as he's walking by. A 14-year-old girl stops you.
Right, but I'm saying she might have some sort of like kids interview show or like...
Oh, apparently she's big. No, she's got YouTube and TikTok and millions of followers.
Because he's in the picture, they both got the same microphone. So she had an extra microphone for him and everything. Yeah,
Yeah, I had to look at it. It wasn't hard to find who she is, and that's why I knew her age at 14, because she's been around for a couple years doing this. I had never heard of her, but apparently, you know, she's got a follow.
Well, she's well seasoned.
And now, and she handled
She's leaving quite the legacy.
Yeah,
she handled that perfectly, and now she knows we all die, we go to dust, and stop asking stupid questions.
Am I supposed to care what people think about me after I'm dead? I'm dead. It's a good, I think it's a very positive way to live.
I'm always taken aback that people don't think like that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm always surprised. I shouldn't be, but I'm more surprised that people don't think this way. That they honestly
they want to leave something behind.
That most people truly believe that they're going to be remembered three, four, five generations from now.
Yeah,
you're not.
No,
you're not. I hate to tell you, you're not.
Yeah, I don't know. You think most people think that?
Yeah, I think everybody's a little too full of themselves.
Successful people think that.
I think just regular
people. I think famous people.
I think people.
You think most, like, any
people? They think like their family's going to remember them three, four generations from now. They're not.
Well, did you ever watch Coco?
I did not.
You didn't watch Coco?
Am I supposed to watch Coco?
I mean, yeah.
What is Coco?
It's a kid's movie. It's a, you know.
It's a kid's movie about death and being dust and leaving nothing for your family?
It
sounds like I should watch this.
It's about death and being remembered, yes. It's the Mexican tradition of, there's like the Day of the Dead. And they take a minute, you put like the picture on the mantle and you remember them. And then apparently like, you know, the spirits are there and you like spend time with them. And in the movie, that's what the movie's about. It's about being remembered. And eventually, if you stop getting remembered, your spirit even dies beyond your body. But if, as long as you're remembered, you'll always live in, I guess, heaven, for lack of a better term.
So the creators of that movie do not see eye to eye with you guys in Tyson.
They believe as long as you have, but I think that's the culture. I don't think that's just the movie. I think that culture honestly believes, you know, you keep the picture on the mantle, you remember them every year on that day, and that's how you do keep
this
them alive.
This is a children's movie?
Correct, Coco.
Sounds a little deep for... children's movie.
I mean, there are deep
themes. Marco, how does every Disney movie start?
I mean,
yeah, usually death.
I mean, the wife and up dies 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
You ever see Dumbo?
No, actually, I didn't.
You never seen Dumbo?
I didn't see Dumbo.
Bambi?
I saw Up.
Dumbo.
I love Up.
Bambi? That's like quietly one of their darker movies.
Oh, Dumbo is terribly sad. All these Disney movies, a parent's dead. One's dead.
True. Nemo.
You're not going to get a single. You're not going to get a single Disney movie without they have both parents.
Yeah, Nemo.
Yeah,
dies right now.
Nemo, eaten by a predator immediately.
Bambi famous.
Along with like 600 of his brothers and sisters.
It's true.
The whole clan is wiped out.
It's true.
And when it's off screen,
no wonder
like
I
in Frozen, they'll kill off both.
Right. Oh,
if they're going to show it, they'll kill one.
That's true. Yeah. Forgot about that.
I mean, Ariel and Little Mermaid doesn't have a mother. Belle doesn't have a mother. We can go on and on.
Mufasa's death was one of the first things I ever saw in a movie theater.
Mufasa dies. Aladdin's an orphan. No parents.
Because it's off screen, they kill both.
Right, because it's off screen, they kill both. It's true.
You know, I got to tell you, I never realized this.
Oh.
I should have, and this is probably the reason why I like Disney movies as much as I do.
Disney movies are steeped in death. Just up to your knee in death.
I got to watch more of them.
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch a lot of this stuff when I was younger. I'm starting to get introduced to it with my kids.
Well, that's, yeah.
I didn't watch them.
Of course. Well, I mean, any of these?
No.
Well, obviously, I didn't go to see Coco in the movie theater.
Well, I would imagine that's somewhat new, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that somewhat new? I don't know.
Because
is that 10 years? Okay.
Yeah, last 10. Yeah, probably.
Okay. See, I don't know. That's why that one I had never heard of. But no, some of the other ones, like the traditional.
It's very good. The music in it is good.
All right.
He's a musician.
All right.
His family makes shoes. They don't want him to be a musician, but he can't deny who he is inside.
I'll try to take a look. I'm not sure if I need that with my four-year-old, because I don't think I need to answer the questions of death every movie that we watch.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe.
No,
she wants to watch it.
How about today? It's funny, too, because today was my wife had a student teacher night or whatever at her school. We didn't have to go to our son's teacher. She's a teacher and her...
Parent teacher.
What did I say? Student teacher?
Yeah, I was a little confused. I was going to say, what's going on with the student teachers there?
Parent teacher night.
I feel like you shouldn't be doing that tonight.
She was working all night and her students' parents were coming to see her or whatever. So tonight was guys' night. So we had pizza and we were going to watch a movie.
Mm.
Flipping through, can't make up our minds.
And I was like, you know what? I saw the Chronicle. I saw the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Chronicles of Narnia. You know that one at all?
Heard of it, didn't see it.
Okay. So we put that on. And the opening scene is they're in England being bombed by the Germans in World War II. And the father's not there. He's off to war. Is the father dead? Like, the whole thing was just like, why do they have to go into a... I'm like, that's a bomb shelter. What's a bomb shelter? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, come on, Narnia. What, just get to the part where, like, the half-man, half-deer is walking around.
I don't know that, but it just like, can we just get to the part where you go to sleep?
Yeah, that's true.
Where's that part of the
movie?
We had a
switch to If. That new one with Ryan Reynolds, where it's about imaginary friends.
Oh, yeah. I saw the commercial for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we ended up watching that.
Oh, so you changed the movie.
Dead Parent. Yeah,
Dead Parent, that one too?
Almost two.
Jeez.
Disney almost, it's not even a Disney movie, but a kid's movie almost got Krasinski too, but he pulled through in the end.
Oh, People's sexiest man alive. He had to kill a parent.
I know.
Off screen?
No, well, yeah, montage, and it. You don't. She was sick. And then they're sick too. Like all of them. Like all these movies have dead parents because that's
Moana had both her parents, and the sequel's coming out around Thanksgiving. One of them's got to be dying.
That's true.
Right?
Well, the grandma died, who was like her.
Oh right, grandma did die in Moana. Right. Okay,
I forgot about the grandma.
But she's almost still there because like the spirit. She does visit her later in the movie. It's almost like she avoided it. Mm. Not a lot of death in Moana. That's true. There's a couple of them. Enchanted.
Well, hopefully there's not too much death in the next one because that we got to go to the theater to see. I don't want too much death again for the 4-year-old here. You know?
No, Enchanted, the mom was already dead before the movie started.
Did I say Enchanted? I'm sorry, I meant I said Encanto, didn't I?
You said Enchanted, okay. Which I don't know. I feel like I'm out of my depth. Encanto, yeah. I've seen 8 bajillion times.
The grandfather, I suppose, dies at the beginning, but that's it.
Young.
Yeah, young, before the whole family
starts. That's why the grandmother's able to kind of start the whole family.
Right.
She's got to take over.
His sacrifice created the magic.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, death, yeah.
Oh, no, there's death all over the place. Disney movies are just steeped in death.
You know, I'm going to watch these movies differently now. I'm going to think of Mike Tyson, and I'm going to think of C-Mac.
I think Marco subconsciously picked up on this, and like he said, that's why he's loved them throughout his life.
Well, like I said, as I'm watching most of these as an adult.
Right.
Minus like Toy Story when that came out 30 years ago. Right. Most of these movies I've seen.
No dad. I was just going to say. No dad in Toy Story.
But I didn't think of that as death.
He's not there. I mean, that's true.
A lot of dads are not there.
That's true. That is true.
So I didn't really kind of pick up on that. And I didn't see a lot of these. I didn't see like Bambi and Dumbo. I didn't watch all that stuff when I was a kid. We didn't do that in my house.
The train scene in Dumbo?
I have no
when
idea.
When they get separated? Oh,
it's one of the most disturbing. Oh. And I haven't seen it in I don't even know how many years.
Yeah, I know.
But I remember it.
Yeah, bad.
See, like I said, and I believe it. And that's why everybody looks at it like, how could you have not? Because it's not a bad thing. But my parents weren't born here. They weren't born and raised here. So they don't know Dumbo and Bambi. Like, that's not. That wasn't their thing. They had no idea what this was, so there wasn't automatic.
Yeah, Disney movies didn't.
Post World War II in Italy, no, they were worried about seven people in a cot. That really didn't work for them. So I didn't know it just because I didn't know it. And then you find out when you get older, and 18, am I going to go watch Dumbo? Like, no, I didn't think that was worth it at that point.
I get it, but I mean, didn't you? But so you watched the relevant age movies though when you were young though. Did you watch Disney movies when you were young that every other kid was watching?
No. When I was a kid, I was probably watching rated R movies that I shouldn't have been watching. You know, I was watching Goodfellas when I was, 13, 12. I was watching Raiders of the Lost Ark at 6. No. I remember getting made fun of watching The Shining and being scared out of my mind. I was 5. They didn't realize the whole...
Then child movies for you certainly did have death.
Yes, but they were different. Psycho 3, I remember that when that came out. That was a big deal.
Psycho 3?
Psycho 3 scared the hell out of me because I was like 6.
They made multiple Psychos?
They made 4, if memory serves, 4.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I knew they made multiple Jawses. I didn't know they made
did
multiple.
See all the, yeah, I saw.
And they get worse.
A lot worse. I saw Jaws 4 as a kid. I feel like that was something big when that came out.
I never saw multiple. So the one thing I'll say about Psycho is the worst idea I've ever heard. And we're full of these, everything's a new idea, remake, or this or that. Like all the no novel ideas anymore. But they made a complete shot-for-shot remake of Psycho.
With Vince Vaughn and Anne Heche. Saw it in the theater. Only time in my life, I can tell you this. Only
Why
time.
Why would you make a movie shot for shot?
Listen to me.
Exactly the same. What's
literally,
the point?
Literally.
Yeah.
1998. Literally. The only two people in the theater, me and the girl that I was with. That's it. Literally. Oh, the only two people in the theater.
You convinced her to go see a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho?
Somehow. Yes. God. I don't remember how that conversation came up.
I get remakes or redoing Psycho. Okay, it's as good as an idea as any. But, like, shot-for-shot? What's the point? It's the exact same movie.
It was.
It's weird.
But just awful. Just awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. Awful.
No, bad.
So bad. I can't even put it into words.
Idea.
Awful.
I can't get over the idea. The idea.
Yeah, the idea didn't bother me in 1998. Yeah. I wanted to see the remake of Psycho. I thought it was going to be bad, but I wanted to see how they did it. I didn't realize maybe at the time.
But they told you how they were going to
do it. Maybe I did hear that. I don't remember.
All right, okay.
I don't remember that. It was a clue, though, when the you know, you get the previews.
Yeah.
And you're the only two people. I've never had that before.
No.
And never since.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Hmm.
I've only walked out of one.
I don't believe I did. There was only one that I remember I wanted to, and that was Godzilla, the Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
I remember someone when something comes out of like the Madison Square Garden, and I remember literally people groaning and someone yelling, "Just die already." I remember that. Yeah, and I think it was opening night.
You went to go see Godzilla opening night. Yeah, you can't if you're hung up on a movie enough to go see it opening night, you can't walk out on it.
Well, I was hung up. I mean, this is when I had a life. I had a prime. I'm just not currently in it.
No, sure.
So in that area in the late 90s, that was my prime. I actually went out and did things.
Right, right.
Not good things, but I went out and did things, and Godzilla was one of them, and it was an awful, awful movie.
Yeah.
So it was Psycho.
I only walked out of one movie, and it wasn't. We weren't even supposed to go. We were late to the movie theater
and missed
I don't even remember what we were supposed to see, but like a bunch of us were there. And it was like we went with like four or five guys and a couple of girls. And the only thing playing that we could have made on time was Mike Myers' The Cat in the Hat. So we literally went to go see The Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers.
How old are you?
At this time, I don't know, 19, 20, 20, maybe in my early 20s.
You guys in your early 20s?
Yes.
Couldn't think of a better thing to do.
Well, we were already at the theater. And my buddy drove there, so we were definitely at least 18 or whatever.
Right. So you couldn't think of anywhere else to go and anything else to do than to already be at the theater?
2003. So, yeah, I'm 20 years old. 19, 20 years old.
Cat in a Hat with Mike Myers?
Well, we went to the movie theater for something else, like I said.
Right.
And then we were late.
And then no one stood up and went, you know what, let's get something to eat or let's go do this.
Yeah, this is a story where you come off okay if you were teenagers and you got dropped off and you had nothing to do with
the And now you're stuck there.
No, you had a car. Access to a car.
Yeah, we had a car.
Yeah, so that's where you go get food. That's where you go bowling. That's where you go do something or anything else.
It was Mike Myers.
It was Cat in the Hat.
I understand that, but it was with Mike Myers. I mean, you thought, you know, there was a chance. I mean, this is
the same guy that just yelled at me for going to see Psycho, the shot-for-shot remake.
I didn't go to see it, and believe me, I wasn't the only one in the theater. At 11 o'clock at night.
You might have been the oldest one in the theater.
At 11 o'clock at night, I think we were like, you know, I think there were people who had, you know, ingested some things.
I was going to say, were you sober and probably the only one sober in the theater?
Sober? Yeah. I mean, I was sober. Did I have all my wits about me? I'm not sure. Not sure. At the moment, it didn't seem like the worst idea in the world to go see Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers. I thought it might be funny, but we left. And I'll never forget my buddy Bobby, who listens sometimes. He's a cop, NYPD. He drives around the shift. I'll never forget. We got dropped off because it's 1994. Got dropped off at the movie theater, and I'll never forget this. The weirdo left Forrest Gump before the feather dropped. The feather was still floating in the air the beginning of the movie. And he said, "I can't do this." And he got up and walked out.
30 seconds in?
I swear to God. I swear. He walked out of Forrest Gump before the feather came down. That's how crazy he was.
So, like, the existence of the feather, was that offensive to him?
No, I don't know. He had no interest in the movie. I think maybe we were going to go see something else, or we talked him into going. He didn't really want
to
see it.
Was he going to see Shawshank?
No, I know. I think we were going to see
Pulp Fiction?
No, the first Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison. But we ended up seeing
Billy Madison. He could sit through the feather. Yes. He can't get through a fart. Your ass isn't even in the seat yet.
Did he sit through previews?
You didn't even see. Yeah, you didn't even see Tom Hanks. Like nothing. He was just like, "I can't do this," and got up and sat outside the theater because we did get dropped off. It's 1994. I'm 10, and he just sat outside the theater waiting for us to finish. Didn't sit for the movie. Crazy kids.
That was a 10-year-old.
Yeah. So I can't do this. And walked out of Forrest Gump before the feather fell.
That's
amazing.
That's tremendous.
Yep.
10 years old.
888-808-1019. So we've learned a lot here. We've learned you're a weird horror movie guy. even at a young age, and the most stable of us all, who has the most in-depth awareness of what life is truly about, is Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And he'll tell it to anyone.
Yeah.
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 Good to know. Now I'm really hoping he pulls through. I'm hoping he has a good fight tonight.
Well, is he going into a Disney movie?
Or tomorrow night? No. No, definitely not. Definitely. There's a little bit of off-screen death in Disney movies.
Say, pulls through.
Just, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Pulls through on the fight. Well, you're talking about like he's going to get absolutely worked by a 30-year-old.
I'm concerned that Mike's going to eat a lot of punches tonight.
I'm hoping he gets pulled. I'm hoping he pulls through. Hoping he comes out victorious.
I can't do this.
All right, let's go.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Speaking of 1994, Dookie, Green Day, 1994, When I Come Around. One of the more influential albums of my life. Didn't really follow them as much after that. I didn't become like an enormous Green Day fan, but that album was life for a while. 888-808-1019. So was Doggy Style, as they're making another one. And I don't know if you heard this, Fleeks. I was saying it the other day. They're making another Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg are making a remake, another album to Doggy Style, and they're calling it Missionary. That is such a tremendous name for the album. We'll see how good.
I mean, it's perfect. Lean in.
No doubt. I mean, that is just a tremendous name for the follow-up album 30 years later to Doggy Style. Calling it Missionary is tremendous. I look forward to it. 888-808-1019. All right, we've joked around enough. Let's get back to the calls. Limo Driver Ed in Pennsylvania. What's up, Limo Driver Ed?
All right. Look at you in Seinfeld, my man.
How about that? How about that? Who knew?
And you, I know, you was pulling no punches either, man. You was talking to him, telling him.
No, I know. I had a little, well, listen, we got into the back and forth of it all, and he was tweaking me as a Yankee fan. He literally said, your pleasure is my pain. I mean, your pain is my pleasure. I just felt like it was that kind of having a little bit of fun at each other's expense kind of thing. I took the invite to have a little fun with Jerry Seinfeld. When am I going to ever get a chance to do that again?
I know, man. That was great. Great experience of you talking to him, too. Yeah. That was really good. I really did enjoy that.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, listen, now on Gruden, is he still getting paid by the Raiders? I know you had like a $100 million contract,
yeah,
but I don't know
if he is. That's a good question. I doubt it at this point, but I mean, a 10-year $100 million contract.
I don't know if
he's still being paid for it, but yes, he signed an enormous contract.
Well, I tell you one thing, you know, as far as my Jets, man, we definitely have to, we got to get somebody in there, especially an offensive minded coach. No more, all these years, has always been a defensive coach, and it's not working. It's not working at all, you know, and I don't know, man. Actually, I just came back from the Eagles game. I had to take some 12 ladies in their 60s, man, 70s. Oh, my God. So they're Eagle fans.
Yeah.
But they got the VIP. Hey, listen, they had the VIP. They up in the – they must know some people that's there for the Eagles. But I tell you one thing, what about Barkley? Oh, my God.
Yep.
And I got him in my fantasy. He got me 30-some-odd points today.
There you go. At least you got something.
All right, brother.
You got it, man. Yeah, I don't get too hung up on the Barkley thing. I don't. I yelled about it. We'll reset at some point. We'll go over it again. The fans in Philadelphia were chanting, thank you, Giants. It's an embarrassing look. I guess if you get hung up on that stuff, you know, perception is, you know, reality, I suppose. But the reality is the Giants have lost with Saquon Barkley, without Saquon Barkley, before Saquon Barkley. after Saquon Barkley, and the Eagles have been better than the Giants before Saquon Barkley, during Saquon Barkley, after Saquon Barkley. Like, I don't get too hung up on it. I don't. I don't think keeping a running back, they made the bad decision by signing the quarterback. If you can go back in time and sign Barkley instead of Daniel Jones, I still don't know if it's the right thing to do, but yeah, it's a better, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that. And they tried to sign him. We make it sound like the Giants had no interest in signing him. They tried. I think they gave him pretty close to what he ended up getting with Philadelphia in during the season 2 years ago, but he didn't want to take it. And then they could have showed him and paid him more money, absolutely. But it really doesn't bother me watching him run for Philadelphia. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He didn't transform. If he would have, if Daniels wasn't there, if he would have went to Washington and suddenly dragged them from the bottom of the division to the top and having this great year for Washington, and suddenly now the Commanders are a problem inside the division, that would have bothered me more than Philadelphia. Philadelphia's been at the top of the division forever. Like, that's they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Last year, they were the last team to lose a game. They fell apart. They had some issues internally, no doubt, and he makes them better. And he gives them a better chance to be a Super Bowl winner, but they were going to be good. And to your question, no, the Las Vegas Raiders are not still paying John Gruden. They came to a settlement on his final 6 years of his $100 million contract. So he was owed $60 million over 6 years. They came to a settlement. We don't know what the settlement was, but he is no longer being paid by the Vegas Raiders. George in Tampa. What's up, George?
All right, big Chris, great show.
Great entertainment, Dave.
You know something, Tyson, I don't know, 14-ounce glove, to me it sounds like a pillow fight, you know, and the gloves, I don't understand, 2 minute rounds, 8 rounds for 2 minutes, I think he's going to, listen, I don't think Tyson has the speed and stamina. Now, if these guys really were two boxers, it would be a contest. The younger guy would win if he was really a boxer, but I don't know what this guy is.
Yeah.
He has so many different careers going. Well, go ahead.
I agree. I don't know. Even if he was a boxer, I wouldn't know too much about him. Boxing isn't my thing. I'll be the first to admit it. But he is, like, there's been discussions about how legitimately good a boxer Jake Paul is, and I think he's probably a little bit better than most people will tell you. He's won some fights. He's a solid boxer. And yeah, it's a spectacle, man. We get it. We know, you know, you're not going to turn it on and see a great boxing match. It's celebrities. It's two celebrities who happen to be boxers fighting. Like, that's what it is. There's no, and it's a novelty. He's 60 years old, man. I'm hoping he's okay. But Will you turn in to see the novelty? Maybe some will. It's on Netflix, so I have Netflix. So if I have nothing going on Saturday night, I might. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I have no interest in. I have very little interest in it, actually. But I mean, we'll check it out. But yeah, I think Tyson, if betting, is -200.
Yeah, but you know, the fight, I mean, we don't know what Tyson has left on his punch. I mean,
no.
unless you know, Jake Paul's on the receiving end, he's going to know what he has left on it. But I just think Tyson could muscle him with 2 minutes, grab him, hold him, and do all kinds of nonsense. But I don't, you just said it, Jake Paul, I don't know. Defensively, when you go up against a boxer and you're not a boxer, usually you don't fight a defensive fight. You don't know how to get, move away from punches. If he starts getting tagged, I don't know. He's going to be the person to know what Tyson still has on the end of his punches when he's on the receiving end. We know that. But 8 rounds, I just think that people, 14-ounce gloves, pillow fight. You know, I just think it's going to be a pillow fight. But Tyson, if he can't move and this guy could just move around and hit him, I think this guy, Jake Paul, has got to go on the offensive then. There's no way you fight an older fighter who can't move unless you go on the offensive.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't know what either of them have. Listen, I'm sure Mike Tyson's got enough of a punch where if he catches him, right, he's going to knock him out. But I really, it's more of a spectacle, man. I really don't want to break down. It's not even worthy of breaking down how he's going to have to go about beating him. Like, it's a spectacle. We're going to turn it on. We're going to see two poor level fighters at this point, at least for Mike Tyson's age. And what, you know, maybe that's unfair to Jake Paul to call him a poor level fighter. But I mean, this is a spectacle. It's a show. It's on Netflix. It's a reality TV show. Jim in Manhattan. What's up, Jim?
Good morning. First time, long time.
Oh, well, thank you, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I get up in the middle of the night to urinate, and then I can't listen to you.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the order. I don't want to hold you up by listening to me and then going to urinate. I think, you know,
you should definitely go
take care of business and then figure me out.
First things first.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, this is more of a commentary, or I just want your, if this is a trend. My son-in-law was born and raised a Jets fan,
okay,
a diehard Jets fan, and he's a big guy, and he always wanted to be a football player. But at any rate, he's married now and has two young boys, and they're into football and baseball big time, and he lives out on the coast. Every year he sends me a picture of the family, the wife, himself, the two little boys, in full Jet regalia. Okay. I just got a picture today. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Bills.
What?
He gave up on the Jets.
Oh, my goodness.
But is this a trend?
I have no idea. No, I don't think so.
But, you know, the Giants are pathetic.
To switching to Buffalo? Yeah. I mean, under the guise of it being a New York team?
Precisely.
Yeah, but they're also in your division. I mean, I don't know how you switch to the Jets. If it's anything like, he just sent you a card for what's the purpose? Christmas or?
He says something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and if it's anything like my wife, those pictures are taken well in advance. We already have our pictures. I already got the text message. I need this one's address and that one's address and this one's address. So, like, those pictures were taken weeks ago. I mean, they gave up on the Jets early. And I am unaware of that trend of both either Giant or Jet fans leaving for Buffalo. I mean, we get the occasional, especially when I tweet out, oh, what a disaster New York sports is. I'll get the occasional snarky comment, Buffalo is the only New York team. You know, that kind of nonsense. But no. Who's switching to the Bills? You can't switch. Everybody knows that. This is the second time I'm referencing Chris Moore, but Chris Moore is always talking about this is the idea that we should be loyal to teams are ridiculous. If you don't believe in the ownership and they don't do right by you, find a team that makes you happier. Right? But the Buffalo Bills is tough, though. I mean, that's how could you be a Jet fan and switch to the Bills? Be a Jet fan and switch. I think Chris Moore switched to the Packers, right? Wasn't that? I think he switched and became a Packer fan. You got to pick some, you know, NFC team out on the West Coast or, you know, Middle America. You can't pick even Philly. Even Philly wouldn't be right. Philly wouldn't be right. The Patriots, anyone in your division you can't pick. Forget that. But in the NFC, like, I was trying to think local. Like, in the NFC, you can't pick Philly, can't pick Washington. You got to go be an Arizona Cardinal fan. I know they just beat them, but, like, you got to go be a Rams fan. You got to go be a 49er fan. You can't be a Buffalo Bills fan after being a Jets fan for your whole life. So, no, I do not believe your son has created a trend. I do not believe that is something that people are actually talking about. And again, look, the Jets have been hideous, right? And it's been now going to be 14 years with no, you assume, 14 years without a playoff appearance. And this Aaron Rodgers thing is completely blown up in their face. But you can't just abandon them. That's what being a fan is about. When they win, and they will eventually, I promise, at some point. I don't know. I would have to think. It's going to feel even more sweet. It's going to be all the sweeter. And again, and you know, I talked yesterday about how to move forward with the Jets. And this isn't like my plan. This is what you do. This is what makes sense. This is what you have to do. It sucks. I don't think they have a good plan moving forward. But I'm, you know, Gio's talking about he can't be back next year. You have to get rid. How do you get rid of him? How do you get rid of Aaron Rodgers if he wants to play? Who's going to take on that? Honestly, I hear the afternoon show trying to come up with ways. Who could you trade him to? Who is nobody wanted Aaron Rodgers when the Jets signed him 2 years ago? Like, who's going to want him 2 years later with an Achilles injury and losing? Like, how do you work this? There's nothing else. If he wants to play and doesn't retire, he's on the team next year. That's it. And you just put it together and you bring in a new head coach and hope it works out. And I got a bunch of hope isn't a strategy when I in Twitter. Like, yeah, I know hope is not a strategy, but everything comes down to hope, no? If you fire if you're a Giants fan, you say, "Oh, I got to fire Shane and Dable." You hope the next guys do better. No, isn't that hope? It's all hope. You bring in a new coach, and you expect things to be better because how could they be worse? You can't take the cap hit of anything other than playing them. And you hope that a year removed from the injury, a full off season of just getting into shape and not rehabbing is going to be beneficial to him. You make a couple of moves. You try and shore up the offensive line again. You do what you can. You bring in a coach that's competent. You hope. As you all do every time you make a hire, you hope. I don't know what else to do. Oh, you can't be back. You got to blow it up. Blow it up how? Explain to me how we blow it up. I guess trading him is the only thing. Or convincing him somehow. What are you going to do? Give him equity in the organization if he retires? Like, what do you promise him? Like, what can you promise him? Like, I don't know. If he wants to play, he's going to play. He's going to play for the Jets. That's it. And then once, if he's playing, I agree, you draft the young quarterback a year under Aaron Rodgers, and then you hope to move on in a year. But there's no other way to go about this. And there's no other way but to just be a Jet fan. And a Giant fan. I'm not switching to the Bills. You could find I never have a problem with, like, once the season is over. Like, now that the Giants season is over, I will find another team to root for. I will pick a random team. It won't be the same team every year. I will pick a random team now that I hope wins and that I'll root for in some way, shape, or manner. But I won't feel the same. If they lose, I won't give a damn. But I'll find a team that I like and I'll try and pick and root for. I like Harbaugh. It might be the Chargers. That's the team I'll try and get behind. Hope they make the playoffs and have a nice little season. What else can I do? I can't go around wearing an Eagles uniform. I can't go buy a Saquon Barkley's jersey and say, forget this whole thing. A Bills jersey, no less. How do you do that? That is brutal. I can't imagine switching fandom. I know it's got, is it, I don't know if it ever gets that bad. I guess with the Jets, it's as bad as it gets, but I don't know if I could switch fandom. And I don't have a lot of rules for fandom because I go against many people's rules that you have to root for them to win every game. And I clearly do not. I go against that rule that Brent in Long Island has and, you know, a lot of Giant fans have, that you have to root for them to win. I have to turn on the TV and root for them to go 3-8. You are out of your mind if you think that they should go 3-8.
That seems like one, and it has been for a while, younger people are much more open to rooting for a team to lose when they understand it's for the best of the team. This isn't, you know, used to have people that would go to the baseball games in September when the team was 30 games out. Oh, just cool. It's such a narrow scope of just hoping your team wins that day, never really thinking about long term.
Right.
That's just not how we do it anymore.
No, I agree. And maybe, you know, there was a time where drafting a quarterback was still a process, right? Like everyone says Phil Simms at a Moorhead State, you know, got to give him time. Like there was a time where the draft pick didn't immediately come in and make impacts and you could pay for a backup quarterback and there were options to build a team differently in the draft. Maybe, you know, that higher draft pick wasn't the be all end all, even though it's always better to have a better pick. But maybe the way the NFL was structured, it made, you know, a little bit more sense to be more focused on winning that game. But like right now, the clear cut advantage, the way the quarterback shapes the team and how it changes. You know, the running back used to be as important a position as the quarterback in many ways. It's not like that anymore. Like, you just have to, you have to get that guy in the building that changes everything, especially for a franchise that's has the roster and the way this team is built. You need it. So, yeah, I don't know. It is a generational thing, definitely. I think a lot of older guys have a tough time. Like, he's getting on me for not watching the Wellington Marrow documentary. It's not even on any of the streaming services. I didn't know it was on YouTube. I thought it was like a thing. I was waiting for it to come out. You're not a Giant fan if you didn't watch The Duke. Everyone tell me what a fan. Like, so maybe I'm being a little hypocritical saying you can't wear a Bills jersey. I feel like that's stepping over the line. But what the hell do I know? I'm being constantly told I'm a habitual line stepper.
I don't know. As someone who plans to renounce my Jets fandom in a few weeks, the thought of going to another team hasn't even occurred to me. It's, no, I'm just going to root for my wallet and
be a fantasy team, NFL fan. Wallet team. Yeah, right. And that's the other thing, too. It's very easy to just transition right to your fantasy team or your gambling. Now that it's on your phone and at your house, you don't have to deal with bookies. You don't have to even, you know, me, I lived close to New Jersey. My Sunday mornings were 10-minute drive sitting in a parking lot in New Jersey placing all my bets. Now it's just right at your fingertips in your living room at any moment in the game. That's when you start to, it's easy. The NFL is different. The NFL is different. And I'm telling you, I think that's an extreme example of literally becoming Bills fans for family photos. Like, that's making a point. Like, that's trying to make a point. I don't even think that's changing fandoms. I think that's bitterness. I think that's a scorned lover type deal where you're just like, I'm so mad at you Jets, I'm going to take a picture in my Bills jersey. I'm going to put my whole family in a Bills jersey. I'm sure next year they'll be back. That seems like an overdramatic kind of thing that you're trying to do that out of spite and anger. But the thing about it with fantasy, gambling, and, you know, YouTube having the, you don't even need the satellite dish anymore. You got the Sunday Ticket available to YouTube. The Red Zone is becoming, you know, it's been popular forever, but it's becoming more and more popular with every single week. Like, it's going to get to a point where if your football team is bad for the stretch, the Jets have been bad. If your team has been bad for the length, the Giants have been bad. I can tell you, just dealing with kids now, having two kids, you know, hearing kids, being around, you know, kids, like having my friends who have kids in today's world, you know, you become fans of players. I that same buddy who walked out of Forrest Gump, his son is an enormous Justin Jefferson fan. He roots for the Giants. They watch the Giants on Sunday, but he has Viking stuff. He loves Justin Jefferson. I think in the NBA, certainly that's become a thing. You become fans of players. Even if you root for a team, I'm not saying you completely avoid rooting, but you end up liking players almost as much as you like teams. It's a different world. And, you know, hopefully I can, you know, teach this out of my children. I'm trying to, but they're at this age front runners. And you're going to lose a generation of fans. I don't know if they're going to switch, but like, you're going to lose a generation of fans being awful for this long. Jake Paul is wearing a stud. Jake Paul, I just saw this too. I know I got sidetracked here. Jake Paul is wearing at the announcement like a diamond studded casing over his ear. That's pretty funny. Do you remember that? Do you remember how crazy that was when he bit Holyfield's ear? When boxing was, I don't know, maybe boxing is still a big deal, but like, boxing was like a big deal. That fight was a big deal. You'd hear Mike all the time. You know, I worked with Mike for so long, I heard him tell the story a million times. When, you know, people would ask a lot. People would always ask Mike, like, what's a sporting event you wish you could have went to that you never, you know, because he went to so many games. I mean, him and Dog tell those stories about flying back and forth, Vancouver and Houston for all those NBA finals and NHL finals games, and they went to all those games and everything. And he would always say the one event that he wished he can go to, I forget which one it was, but I think it's the first one at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, Madison Square Garden. The first Frazier Ali fight. Like, those were enormous events. I know there are some UFC fights now that are big. Obviously, former and now future President Trump goes to a lot of them, and Dana White's become a celebrity, and now, you know, we'll see what cabinet position he gets. And, like, I get that they've become events, certain one of them, and I'm not trying to downplay it. I know a lot of people like it, but it doesn't feel the same way. It's like, Holyfield Tyson was like a big deal. Even like Holyfield Riddick Bowe. Those fights when I was a kid, they felt like big events. And maybe it's because pay-per-view was different then than having it on HBO even in later years, I guess. But this is just a spectacle. This isn't a big fight. This isn't a legitimate thing. This is, I'll show up to the weigh-in with the diamond-studded casing over my ear to make fun of that moment. And, you know, I'll probably call you an old geezer or something. I'll have a bottle of Ensure to give you. Like, that's the kind of thing that's going on right now. Which is fine if you're into it. 888-808-1019. I might check it out on Netflix. I like live events.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.